But the thing that really stands out is just not being afraid to have conversations with your kids. Those are paramount, not just for your relationship with your kids, but if anything ever does happen, you want to be that person. It doesn't prevent everything. We wish we could keep our kids in a bubble. We can't. But if you're their safe place, that's huge. A safe place for kids that are around you. Some kids don't have parents that are a safe place. So if you can be that one positive adult in a kid's life, that can change the trajectory of their life.
Today on the We Share podcast, Ashley Stallings, director of the Upper Valley Child Advocacy Center. Welcome to the We Share podcast. I'm Julie.
I'm Alex.
We share ourselves and we provide a platform for others to share.
We believe everyone has a purpose and a story to tell.
And we're back on the We Share podcast. I'm Julie.
And I'm Alex.
All right, Alex, we have Ashley Stallings 2.0.
I know, she's back.
She's back. We had Ashley on last April, so a year ago, specifically to talk about Child Abuse Awareness Month. And that's obviously in April. So let me reintroduce who Ashley is. She's the director of the Upper Valley Child Advocacy Center, a very important hub in East Idaho to help children who've suffered from abuse. So welcome, Ashley.
Welcome, Ashley.
Thanks for having me back. I'm so excited to be here.
Next April, just calendar it in now.
Just schedule me in every April.
Okay. For those who weren't able to listen a year ago, they might be new to the podcast. Let's start from ground one. Who are you and what does Upper Valley Child Advocacy Center do?
Yeah, so I'm Ashley Stallings. I'm the executive director and the co-founder of Upper Valley Child Advocacy Center. In a nutshell, we work child abuse investigations with law enforcement, with prosecutors' offices across Region 7. And when I say we work child abuse cases, that means that the child comes to our center. It's a child-friendly, neutral place for them to be able to tell their story to a trained interviewer who talks to them in a trauma-focused, non-leading manner. While we're doing that, our team members, like law enforcement, prosecutors, CPS, are in a separate room watching it live, so we work together. That's recorded as evidence in criminal cases. And then our family advocates work with the non-offending caregiver, whatever that looks like for that child, aunt, uncle, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, foster parent, and provides resources for them, kind of holds their hand through this whole criminal justice process. So before child advocacy centers were a thing, a child had to retell their story over and over and over again at lots of different offices, and parents would have to look for resources themselves. And this way, they come to one center, they get all the resources, support they need, and we work together as a team to make sure this case moves forward. And most importantly, that this child and family receives the healing they deserve.
I think that's so important because we know that when you're retelling it, often you're reliving that trauma. And so that's going to reduce that trauma response, correct?
Exactly. And that is the whole point of this, is we want to be as trauma focused as possible for these kids and these families. I mean, sometimes I think we forget there's adults on the other side of this that have never experienced this. They don't know what to do. They're feeling chaos and protection of their kid, but also going through their own turmoil and having to process through what happened.
Oh, probably feeling guilt.
Feeling like a failure. Why did I miss these signs? That would totally be there. How long has Upper Valley Child Advocacy Center existed?
Yeah, so we started under the Family Crisis Center in Rexburg. We just were kind of this child component of what they did. And that was in 2015. I'm not going to math that right now.
COVID ruined math for everyone.
I don't know the math.
Nine years.
Yeah. And then and it just kind of grew and grew. So we decided to go out on our own in 2018 as our own 501c3 nonprofit. And then that's how Upper Valley Child Advocacy Center was born.
Yeah. What's the growth been like? What kind of differences have you seen since 2015 to 2024?
I mean, definitely an increase in cases. Some years it goes down a little bit. Some years it goes way up. Obviously, the year after COVID, our numbers were through the roof, but that's because kids were in their homes. And as we know, as statistics tell us, you know, most abuse is in home or with someone a child knows. And so, of course, after COVID, our numbers just went crazy. We saw a little bit of a drop after that. But then I will tell you, this year right now, we're on track to be one of our busiest years ever.
Can you attribute that to anything? Is some of it just the fact that you're so available now, so you're getting more cases? Or is part of it that there's just more abuse?
Is it awareness, or is it the recession and inflation and money stress?
Yeah. I think it's probably a little both. I think we definitely have more agencies that use us now than did before, because we've gone out and done that education and awareness and built those relationships with people and kind of educated them on why it's important we do it this way for the children and families in our communities. But I also think families are under a lot of stress and there is a lot going on. And so I think we have seen numbers, you know, increase a little bit because of those stressors for sure.
I'm going to ask a question that's probably a little tender and difficult. And I don't even know if it matters that much, but we've interviewed people on the We Share podcast and also on my morning show where porn has become more violent over the last few years. And the viewing of porn is more often in a violent form than it used to be. Are you seeing the abuse match that? Is the abuse becoming more violent? Is the abuse matching the usage of other sexual means of gratification?
Yeah, I think the way we're seeing that most often is, one, we've seen a huge increase since COVID in kid-on-kid crimes, especially sexual crimes, that we used to never do any of those when we first started. You know, I mean, you would do like teenagers and those sorts of things, but we're talking about like young kids.
9-year-old right. on
yeah.
5-year-old.
Yeah, like very young.
Wow.
And I will say, even in a lot of the teenager cases we come in, there it's very obvious that there was some watching of some things and there was some mimicking of some things. Even just regular TV shows. I mean, we know, I mean, and I'm not advocating or not advocating. Everybody makes the choice for what they want in their home, but you know, even kids just watching normal shows on HBO that might be a little more than they're ready to see.
Right. Or even Netflix. It's yeah. just yeah. not as censored yeah. as it used to be when
well,
we
it's
were
so
growing
available.
Up.
It's, mm-hmm. it's a push of a button. And so I think sometimes parents don't even know their kids are watching those shows. Because right. I've had kids in my room be like, you know, when I've been interviewing them in my room and they've been like, oh, well, I saw it on this show. And the parent was like, I didn't even know they watched that show, you know. But it, compared to when I was growing up, which was many moons ago, you know, we just had cable channels. You had 10 to choose from, right? Mm-hmm. And now you've got, I don't even know,
Limitless.
Thousands? Yeah, millions? I don't yeah. know.
I'm not YouTube, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's limitless.
A plethora.
Oh, goodness.
So I also know you don't just have a brick and mortar building. You are mobile. So let's talk about that too. Like, share with our listeners how often you use the mobile unit and how that came about.
Yeah. So I was just thinking about that on my way here. That's kind of what I was promoting a year ago as we were doing our open house for our mobile unit. So we've had a whole year of trial and error and all the fun things that come along with a new piece of equipment, which is like a huge RV. So there's so many things that can go wrong. But I will say, you know, I'll admit I was skeptical of the mobile unit. It just felt like kind of a lot of work. And I just wondered if we would use it and how effective it would be. But I have to say, I'm eating my words. the thing that I love about it is, you know, most often we take it to Driggs. That's where we end up taking it the most. And we'll go there and we'll do 2 or 3, 4 cases in a day up there with it. And once we got the tech and all that figured out, which was an adventure for sure. You know, I just remember I was interviewing and there was, you know, a child that came that could drive themselves from school. So they drove over during their lunch hour. We did the interview. They drove back to school for, you know, after they were done. And what is great about that is, you know, when a family's coming here from Driggs, I mean, that's going to take half of their day. So that takes not only their gas, but a half a day of work for a lot of these families, half a day of school, maybe a whole day of school for these kids. And just sitting in that moment being like, you know what? Now, you know, this family doesn't have to carry that part of the burden, the gas, the time off, the money, the hours spent. You know, we were able to relieve that burden, which I didn't think about as much until we were in that moment. And I'm like, I'm so glad we could relieve just those few extra burdens for this family in that moment, especially because this moment is really tough. And so we've really enjoyed taking it out just for that, knowing that the burden's on us. And I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. And maybe it also would get someone there that maybe would find an excuse to not take that step or take that time. Mm-hmm. So you're just admitting that objection.
Yeah, there's a lot of times families in those areas, they can't take off work or, mm-hmm. you know, so it's like, okay, how do we troubleshoot that? And now it's like, okay, we're going to bring the mobile unit up and we'll come after hours. We'll come before hours. I mean, we're available to do that when, you know, maybe they can't afford to do those things.
My heart kind of breaks with this conversation because you as a director of this nonprofit group, you were having to make this decision of, is this going to be worth our time, our money, our energy? And the actual response to that is, yes, if you help one kid, it's worth it. But that's the restraints that you work under. There's not unlimited amounts of money or time or resources. So you have to allocate it appropriately. I know you've been working on getting more resources and it's tightening up a little bit. Tell us about some of the ways that you fund Upper Valley Child Advocacy Center and some ways that you're hoping you're going to get some help in the future.
Yeah, so we are mostly, I mean, most of our funds come from grants. It's actually grant season right now. So if anyone wants to send Diet Coke and chocolate my way, that's what gets me through.
I will if you teach me how to write a grant.
I will do that.
Because I would love to write a grant.
And then I'll hire you to write a grant.
Yeah, because I love to write.
Because that's just like, I'm done. I've done my fair share.
Yeah, teach me and I'll write one.
Yeah, and the hard thing with grants is, one, they're not guaranteed. So, you know, the joke is, are we going to be employed next year when we write our grants? The other thing that's really unfortunate is with VOCA funds, which is Victims of Crime Act. That's a federal fund that all agencies that work with victims usually gets their funding through. The last 2 years, it's been cut about 40%.
Oh, wow.
And so that has been really challenging. I was just talking to someone before I got here and, you know, we've gone from a staff of 14 to a staff of 7, but our numbers haven't gone down. And so that's just an interesting challenge as a director to figure out, how do we continue to provide quality services? How do I make sure my staff isn't burnt out, that I'm not burnt out? So, because when we're burnt out and we're not full, we can't give our full selves to these kids and these families, which isn't fair. And so it's been an interesting thing for me to figure out. And so it's a lot of writing grants. There's a lot of foundations out there that also provide money and support, and then donations. I mean, we're always, you know, monetary donations that aren't budgeted for one thing or another. They're just things we can use to put gas in the mobile, or, you know, things that just come up, or, you know, those funds that aren't allocated for anything are really huge for us because we have needs that come up all the time. And so, you know, it is always an interesting thing. You were talking about, you know, trying to figure out things. You know, Idaho doesn't have anything earmarked for victim services. And so that is something that I've been working on lately with legislatures, on trying to educate them on these victim services, more specifically these child victim services, and if these agencies go away, what that means for our communities.
Yeah. Let's clarify something here. So VOCA is federal.
Yes.
So that's federal dollars that come in.
Yes.
But Idaho is, correct me if I'm wrong, one of what, four or five states that don't give money?
Yeah, I believe it's one of five states in the United States that doesn't have an earmarked budget line item for victim services.
Yeah, we're behind.
Okay, so I want to go out on a limb, and I think Julie will support me in this, and I know my client will. I think we should give $1,000 that we're sitting on from Mark Radford to this fund.
Oh, this would be a great idea.
So I consider it done. I know he'll approve it.
Yeah.
I'll just need to make a call. So
oh, wow.
today or tomorrow, we'll get you. Yeah. Probably not today, because we got to get a hold of
Mark and clarify.
Yeah. Well, and Neil has the money. Mm-hmm. So, but we'll get you $1,000 from We Share and from Sand Hill Media.
Yeah.
Oh,
we've been looking at a where can we use this for charity? And we don't want it to be misused. That's one of the hard things about charities. I think people are actually genuinely very giving. They really, really are. But sometimes you give and the money doesn't even go to what you think you're giving to.
Right.
And so we have sat on this money from Mark Radford going, we want it to be very, very targeted.
Right.
Before we give it. We don't just want to throw it out there. And I love this idea.
And he's often done legislation and things like for causes that he cares about and worked with us. And so I think this is very fitting, knowing that Idaho doesn't have anything earmarked. We'll just earmark $1,000 for you right now.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Amazing. Thank you guys. I was not expecting that.
I wasn't expecting it either. I just listened to the prompting. I'm like, and we're doing this.
Yeah, so we'll ask Mark, but is there a more giving man in this area?
He's so very willing. Kind.
So willing to give. Yes. Okay, I do know you went over and did speak. You did testify in some hearings, and nothing is going to happen because the 2024 legislative session in Idaho ended yesterday. They only stay in session for 3 months. But do you feel like you made ground? Did you improve the thought process in the legislators' minds, and what are you looking forward to?
I think we did. I think we presented to the Senate Health and Welfare Committee. I think I'm saying that right. I think right now, because Idaho is a little bit behind, we always say, like, much like in fashion, we're a little bit behind on all the things.
10 years.
I think we're really just in the educating stages, you know, we're educating what we do, why it's important, how we do it, and what it means if we are no longer around. And then I think, you know, the thought process that we're having, and to be clear, I'm doing this with all of the directors in all of the child advocacy centers in the whole state of Idaho. So this is a collective effort. We are working together. There's 7 directors, 7 child advocacy centers in Idaho, and we are all working together on this important matter. So they've been, it's not just me, it's a collective effort. But I think the plan is education, and then the plan is what legislation is out there that needs to be tweaked, needs to be changed, and then what can we, you know, put some money on with that legislation, if that makes sense, connected to that legislation. And so I think that's really our plan right now is this year we knew it was a long shot to get anything this year, but the hope is as we put our faces in front of them, they get more familiar with who we are, what we do, why it's important, that then we can kind of start working on some legislation that will really be advantageous to child victim services in all of Idaho, and then connect some money to that that way.
The more presence you have, the more serious they'll take you.
I think people need to also understand that, you know, I think there's this general consensus that everybody has their hand out and wants money. But if money is allocated towards these advocacy centers, it actually takes pressure off of multiple other state-funded organizations because you're the hub and they don't have to use as many resources to help these children. So it's almost like a transfer of money, not necessarily new money, because you will lighten up other people's loads by being able to handle more cases and helping more children.
And I think efficiency as well, because, I mean, from how you've explained it last time and this time, you're saving officers' time, you're saving the court's time. Time is money. So,
I think you lighten the load when it can all be handled in one place, which is good for the child. It's less trauma. It's more efficient. It's less man hours because it's all done at the same time. And everybody's on the same page.
Well, and other states have done research around that and what it takes when everyone's doing their separate thing versus if you do a child advocacy center where everybody's working together, you know, as you said, at the hub as a team. It's millions and millions of dollars that you're saving your state every year because, you know, it's, more efficient. Yeah. It works better. So other states have done those numbers and that math, and it does save money for sure.
It might end up well-being the way it's done, only done in down the road, I would think, just because it's cost savings and it's better. Yeah,
it's a better place to get to.
Well, and not to mention too, and you can't really, I mean, I'm sure you could track this. I'm not a huge researcher, but you know, when we take care of these kids in this moment, what are we thwarting from years to come, right?
Generational.
Like, yeah. So, I mean, all that money, how do we even like quantify that? We can't. But if we're taking care of these children in their moments, we're believing them, we're trauma focused, we're doing our best to help them and their families heal, then we're probably stopping, generations of, you know, I mean, ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, the higher, you know, a score a kid has, which means the more trauma they have in their childhood, the more likely they are to have health problems, substance abuse problems. I mean, there's
criminal problems.
Yes. Yeah. All these problems. So if we can help these kids in this moment, especially when these are things that are happening to them that they didn't ask, you know, it's not that happened to them. They didn't ask for these things to happen. And having, you know, us take care of that in this moment, instead of trying to take care of it when they're 40, 50, 60, because we haven't taken care of it in their childhood. I mean, that's, you have to be saving money. I just don't know how you quantify that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I know you've got a couple of events coming up, and this podcast will come out prior to those events. So let's at least highlight those.
Perfect. Yeah. So there is a ton of events. I like to give a shout out. We're working as a team, all of us in Southeast Idaho, for Child Abuse Prevention Month. I mean, all the way, there's some in Idle Falls, there's some in Salmon. So check out our Facebook or Instagram. We have a calendar of all the events going on in April with all the different agencies. But we are doing two events. We're calling it Play It Safe. We're doing it at April 26th in Du Bois, so at Lindy Ross Elementary School there. It'll be us. We're bringing our mobile unit. So if you guys want to check that out, there is a mobile art unit coming. They're doing free art projects with kids and families. United Way is going to be there with books. Family Crisis Center is going to be there just for kids. Eastern Idaho Public Health, Community Youth in Action. And we're all going to have games and crafts and resources for families. And it will just be snacks, food. I know that draws people out. So that's happening April 26th. And then because we're super crazy, we're going to do it right again April 27th, the same exact event, but in Madison County behind Madison Cares in that grassy area from 10 to 2. Both events are from 10 to 2. So
I'm more likely to hit the Rexburg.
Du Bois is a little bit of a drive, but I would also say if you're listening to this podcast, share this, because I know this is something that Ashley and I talked about when I invited her on to the morning show, is that this is a good way to open up a conversation with your own kids. Just because your kid might not suffer from abuse and you have a very loving home doesn't mean that they can't, as a peer, be an advocate for other children. And so it's a great way to open up a conversation with your kids. Hey, let's go here and we'll go and we'll partake, and then you can talk about why this event even happened.
Right. And they might notice, like, know a friend that has something going on. And that friend's confided in them, and then your kid's carrying that around not knowing what to do with it.
Yeah, but just, it's a good way to open up a conversation.
Well, and statistically, between 50 and 60% of kids first disclose to a peer. So if your kids are armed with that information and who to tell, why it's important to tell, what to do if a friend tells them that stuff, then that's huge, because majority of the time, a kid's going to tell another kid before they tell an adult, for sure. Mm-hmm.
I had a conversation with my girls. This was a while back. And I said, one thing I wish I would have done more with you guys is empower you as women with my girls. And they were like, what are you, Mom, you empowered us so much. We were the ones that were always speaking out for ourselves. And I said, yeah, but I could have done more. I'm telling this story because I don't want parents to think the same thing when their daughters are 27 and 26 and 25 and like, do it when they're young. Empower these kids to know, no, you can't touch me like that. Or no, I don't deserve to be treated this way. And then they will talk to a parent or a counselor, someone, about what they've experienced.
Yeah. And at this Play It Safe, or you guys can contact us at any time and we'll get you the info. But we have a ton of resources on how to even start having those conversations with your kids. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes that's a scary, like, road to go down. And so we have, like, we even have these kits that you open. One side's for parents, one side's for kids. You know, it's like a lesson plan on how to talk to your kids about it. It has crafts, it has games, it has prompts, it has, I mean, it takes the guesswork out for you. And so please show up to these events or contact us. We have a ton of these kits. They were donated to us from a curriculum called Safer Smarter Kids for free. I think we got like, I don't know. Our whole office is
hundreds.
Filled with them. Yo, thousands.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thousands. So if anybody wants those kits, if they're having a hard time figuring out how do I even start these conversations, we would love to give you those. So,
yeah. Yeah. How do they reach you?
Yeah. So Upper Valley CAC is our Instagram, and then Upper Valley Child Advocacy Center is our Facebook. You can always message us on those. Upper Valley Child Advocacy Center, you know, Google that and you can get our phone number and our email. But we love interacting with community members. We love helping in any way that we can, any way that we can keep a child safe. I mean, we're here for all of that. So,
and I know they always take donations. So yeah. If you've been at Costco and you want to grab a gigantic size of pretzels, because that helps kids relax a little bit if they've got a little snack or something when they're there during their difficult, you know, revealing time. So you can donate that way. Always money is good. So whatever.
And then last but not least, we leave each episode with one little nugget or something that you would like to share with our audience. And it can be from Ashley or it can be from Upper CAC.
Mm-hmm. I just think when I think about everything that we've talked about today, I think the important thing that I mean, all of it's important that we talked about, but the thing that really stands out is just not being afraid to have conversations with your kids. Those are paramount, not just for your relationship with your kids, but if anything ever does happen, you want to be that person. And so it's just starting those conversations young and often, and they don't even have to be big, scary conversations, but just being that person to your kids. It doesn't prevent everything, right? We can't prevent everything. We wish we could keep our kids in a bubble. We can't. But if you're their safe place, that's huge. And a safe place for kids that are around you. Some kids don't have parents that are a safe place. So if you can be that one positive adult in a kid's life, that can change the trajectory of their life. So don't forget the power you hold, especially in kids' lives. Be that adult, be that person that steps up.
Mm-hmm. I always say on the radio, if you see something, say something. And you can't arm your kids with that if you don't talk to them about it.
Yeah, awareness is everything.
Yeah. All right, Ashley, thank you so much. We love having you. Let's just book it. Next year, you'll be here.
April.
Same time.
Okay, perfect.
All right, thanks, Ashley.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today on the We Share podcast.
If you've loved what you've heard, please give us a 5-star rating. Tell your friends and share this show.
You can also follow us for recipes, lifestyle and fashion tips, book reviews, and more on WeShare.com.
Join our Share Squad and sign up for our newsletter there.
We would love to connect with you.
We share on TikTok, Pinterest, Facebook, and Instagram. Give us a follow.
A big goodbye squeeze and sending you all our love from Alex and Julie.
Join us next week on the We Share Podcast.